సంకల్ప సిద్ధయే తేషా కృపయైత అచింతయ ఇతి స్వానాం స భగవా ఇతి స్వానాం స భగవా విజ్ఞాయాఖిల దృక్స్వయం సంకల్ప సిద్ధయో తేషా కృపయై తదా చింతయ ఇతి స్వానాం స భగవా విజ్ఞాయాఖిల దృక్స్వయా సంకల్ప సిద్ధయే తేషా కృపయై తవ చింతయ ఇతి స్వానాం స భగవా విజ్ఞాయాఖిల దృక్స్వయా సంకల్ప సిద్ధయో తేషా కృపయైత చింతయ స్వానాం స భగవా సంకల్ప సిద్ధయే తేషా ఇతి సచ్ స్వానా of his personal devotees saha he bhagavan the supreme personality of godhead vigyaya understanding akhila drik the seer of everything swayam himself sankalpa of the imagined desire Siddhaye, for the realization. Tesha, there. Kripaya, compassionately. Etad, this, as follows in the next verse. Achintayat, thought. Translation by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Because he sees everything, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, automatically understood what the cowherd men were conjecturing. Wanting to show his compassion to them by fulfilling their desires, the Lord thought as follows. Jano vai loka etasmin avidya karma kama karma bhi uccha vashasu gatishu naveda swam gatim brahman. Translation and purport. Lord Krishna thought, certainly people in this world are wandering among higher and lower destinations, which they achieve through activities performing according to their desires and without full knowledge. Thus people do not know their real destination. Srila Jiva Goswami has elaborately explained how this verse applies to the eternally liberated residence of Sri Vrindavan, the Lord's abode. One of the fundamental philosophical principles of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the distinction between the two types of illusion, Yogamaya and the Mahamaya, the spiritual and material states of existence, respectively. Although Krishna is God, the omnipotent, omniscient, supreme being, his intimate associates in the spiritual world love him so much that they see him as their beloved child, friend, lover and so on. So that their ecstatic love can transcend the boundaries of mere reverence, they forget that Krishna is the supreme God of all universes. And thus their pure intimate love expands unlimitedly. One may consider their activities of treating Krishna as a helpless child, a handsome boyfriend, or a playmate to be manifestation of avidya, ignorance of Lord Krishna's position as God. But the residents of Vrindavan are in fact ignoring the secondary majesty of Krishna and focusing intensely on his infinite beauty, which is the essence of his existence. In fact, describing Lord Krishna as the supreme controller and God is almost a type of political analysis, referring as it does to hierarchy of power and control. Such analysis of levels of power and hierarchies of rule is significant in context in which one entity is not fully surrendered in love to a higher entity. In other words, control becomes visible or is consciously felt as control when there is a resistance to that control. To cite an example, a pious law-abiding citizen sees a policeman as a friend and a well-wisher, whereas the criminal sees him as a threatening symbol of punishment. Those who are enthusiastic about a government policies feel that the government is controlling them, but rather it is helping them. Thus Lord Krishna is seen as a controller and hence as the supreme God by those who are not fully enchanted by his beauty and pastimes. Those fully in love with Lord Krishna focus on his sublime, attractive, featured, and because of the nature of their relationship with him, do not much notice his controlling power. A simple proof that the residents of Braj have transcended lower states of God consciousness, rather than fail to attain them, is the fact that throughout the pastimes of the Lord, they often remember that Krishna is God. Usually they are astonished at this remembrance, having been fully absorbed in seeing Krishna as their friend, lover and so on. The word kama is conventionally used to indicate material desires, or else a spiritual desire to intense, that it becomes somehow analogous to intense material desires. Still the fundamental distinction remains. Material desire is selfish and self-gratificatory. Spiritual desire is free of selfishness, being wholly for the pleasure of the other. The Lord, thus the residents of Vrindavan, executed their daily activities solely for the pleasure of their beloved Krishna. It should be remembered that the entire purpose of Krishna's descent into the world is to attract living beings back home, back to Godhead. Two things are required for this, that is, pastimes display the beauty of spiritual perfection, and that somehow seem relevant and hence interesting to the conditioned souls of this world. The Bhagavatam often states that Lord Krishna plays just like a youthful actor, and he undoubtedly engages eternal devotees in dramatic presentation. Thus Lord Krishna here muses to himself that people in this world certainly do not know their ultimate destination. And with an obvious touch of the facetious, he also thinks in this way about his own eternally liberated associate, who are playing in this world like ordinary members of a coward village. Apart from the double meaning obviously present in this verse when it is applied in Krishna's liberated associates, Krishna here makes an entirely direct and pointedly critical observation about ordinary people. When applied to conditioned souls who are actually wandering throughout the universe, his statement that people are acting out of ignorance and lust is not mitigated by any deeper spiritual meaning. People in general are simply ignorant and they do not seriously consider their ultimate destination. As usual, Lord Krishna is able to say many profound and complex things in a few simple words. How fortunate we are that God is not a dry field of energies, transcendent, effulgent blob or nothing at all as various people would have it. In fact, he is the most wonderful personality of Godhead. full of absolute personal qualities, and certainly whatever we can do, he can do better, as evidenced by his brilliant way of speaking. Hare Krishna. Very beautiful purport explaining the greatness of Krishna. At the same time, that greatness which is observed by the regular people, that same Krishna becomes most sweet, enchanting, all accessible to the Brajbasis. He is the same person. Somebody is very powerful, cannot be sweet. Somebody is sweet, cannot be powerful. That is what the nature's law is most of the time. But with the most powerful personality like Krishna, he is the supreme personality of Godhead. And that's what Prabhupada emphasized more. Because in the material world, the conditioned soul, especially with the materialistic education, where the whole concept of spirit, God is taken away, then it is more so where a living entity is trying to control over the material nature, trying to lord it over. So therefore, unless a living entity experiences intellectually, philosophically, socially, that there is somebody much greater than all of us, and he can do better than what we could do. And that's how Hridayananda Maharaj concludes this purport. Whatever we do, of course all the resources what we do is also coming from Krishna. Unless this understanding is there, once we submit to Krishna's supremacy, then it is easier to experience Krishna's sweetness at our level. So therefore the Brajbasis, we see this whole beautiful pastime, Nanda Maharaj, you know, he went to take a bath. And Indra's, Varuna's servant, as Sukadeva Goswami explains, he defines him as a demoniac. Now Varuna is not demon, and neither Varuna hires demonic servants. Varuna's role is to control, discipline. Therefore, in the Bhagavatam we read, when Bali Maharaj was captured, he was captured with Varuna rope. Varuna's rope indicates the power to discipline. So how would Varuna appoint somebody who is demonic in nature, but is defined as demon? Why? Because he made a big mistake of capturing Krishna's father, as the first fault. And secondly, Nanda Maharaj was not making any mistakes. Not because he is Krishna's father, even from a scriptural point of view, he was right the way he was taking bath. But still, Varuna's servant was only following the, you know, the formal law. He did not go into the deeper aspect of law. Therefore, recently in Vrindavan, Radhananda Maharaj is mentioning that this servant was sectarian one. Very rigid. As Rupa Goswami explains in the Nectar of Instruction, that it is easier to just follow others in one sense, because you don't have to use your intelligence. And others also tell, apne buddhi ko sula do. But the world does not allow that to us. It forces us to think. However much we have a facility to get guidance, which we need to get all the time, but there are situations where we have to make a decision. We have to take the responsibility of making decision. And if we are rigid, we are very, very extremely orthodox, extremely sectarian in regards to the decision what we make, that decision does not benefit anybody. Or we become too liberal. Or a time to badal gaya bhi. Times have changed, so therefore we have to think from a new perspective. Then there is a chance that we may water down the rule. Therefore Rupa Goswami explains, very beautiful Nectar of Instruction. He says, following the rule for the sake of following, Niyamagraha and Niyamagraha. And giving up the rules, just like that. So therefore, you know, just like when we make chapati, I remember serving Tamal Krishna Maharaj. You know, they said that, in fact anybody, he just would make it very clear. If you make a chapati, fulka, it has to be just right. If it is overcooked, black spots, no good. And two white spots, no good. Overcooked is bad and undercooked is bad. One may say, how difficult. No, expert cook can do it. Every chapati is what they cook. Could be extremely consistent. Would not cook it more than what it is required. Would not undercook it. Life is like that. Life is always like that. Life will never allow us that chance of chalta hai. This much here, little extreme this side or extreme that side, it's okay. It's not okay. It's wrong. It is not allowed. And this is what this sectarian servant did to Nanda Maharaj. He thought I'm following rightly. You know, Nanda Maharaj is making a mistake. Grab him and take him down to the Varuna Loka. And Jiva Goswami explains, other acharyas explains, that Nanda Maharaj in fact had not done the mistake because he realized the Ekadashi was short Ekadashi. All these technical problems are there. Like in the Mahabharata also, when Arjuna was taking bath in Ganga, one of the servants or the Gandharvas, they came, Chitrarath. You know, he had a very wonderful chariot. So he came to Arjuna, he stopped, he said, you cannot take bath here because this is our time. So Arjuna said, that is your rule. You have understood from your perspective. My understanding about Ganga is that anybody can take bath in Ganga anytime. For other rivers it may be applied. But Ganga, there is no such rule. Ganga is like Krishna. You can chant Hare Krishna anytime. There is no hard and fast rule. So Arjuna had his own understanding. And that Gandharva is his own understanding. But whose understanding is better? No. Naturally, Arjuna's understanding is more better because it is more harmonious. The rule is not whether it is right or wrong. Which rule is more harmonious? It is not that Gandharva was wrong. But he was wrong to apply that rule to Arjuna and with Mother Ganga. It was not very harmonious. Wherever the rule creates conflict, if the rule breaks society, then that rule is a sectarian one. The rule which unites society for the higher cause, that rule is the better rule. So then this Gandharva challenged Arjuna. Even though he was wrong, he was challenging Arjuna. And of course Arjuna easily defeated him. And he gave some special weapon to Arjuna. You know, accepting defeat was also very cultural in those times. Now after getting defeated, like one of our devotees was mentioning, when there is a debate amongst the scholars, no. Unfortunately, with the modern education system, even the concept of the foundational principle of how we get education is not there. Just get education by any means. So when that concept is there, then our whole behavior from the foundation to, you know, the highest staircase, it's all mixed with wrong understanding. So even in the debate, one of our devotees was mentioning, he said when two parties debate, whether it is extremely against each other in regards to philosophy, when there is a debate, after the debate is over, either party felicitate each other. You know, they give some coconut, they give some shawl, they give some dakshin also. Why? Because you may debate, but you can't be animals. You cannot be cats and dogs. There has to be refinement. So therefore, when Gandharva lost the battle to Arjuna, you know, he came and offered something to Arjuna. He said, you know, if you need something, I can come and help you. And then that same Gandharva told Arjuna, actually, you know why I attacked you? This is a very superficial reason. The real reason is that you have finished your Brahmacharya ashram, now you have to be a grihastha. In between is a problematic situation. He said, therefore, now you have to go and look for a wife and look for a guru. So no event is again disconnected event. Even though there was a confusion in regards to who is right, who is wrong, that is not a disconnected event. There is something else is also involved in that. So here in this same event also, it is not this Gandharva is only making mistakes. Unfortunately, what happens, the modern system is, like one devotee in America, he told me to, you know, read something about Mahabharata. No, he said, since you are interested in Mahabharata, you can read. There is a book by one person. It talks about how it is so difficult to be good in this world. So what this person does, he takes an event or series of events in a person's life, and rather than judging those events in a harmony, he judges those events independently. Here he is very good, but he is very down. Including he is judging Krishna also. He said when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, that was the best part of Krishna. He is in the top. When Krishna went as a peacemaker, he is in his elements. But when he is in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he is totally acting whimsical. But these are not disconnected events. One of the way in the Vedic scripture, in the Vedic culture, is to see connection. If I do not see connection for whatever is happening now, I only independently judge that event. Do not see the connection, why this is happening. There must be some previous experiences also. And if I don't see the future consequences for my present event, so that disconnection, what does it do? It creates a discord. That creates a discord. So Vedic scriptures do not allow us to do that. They say, they see everything in harmony. If you do not see everything in harmony, then you do not exist, basically. Your existence becomes meaningless. It continuously creates conflict. So, if Krishna had to do something in regards to tricking the Kauravas, and you say this is wrong on Krishna's part, we understand it is so difficult for him to be good. Basically what he is saying, that everybody has a difficulty in being good. Nobody can be perfectly good. It is not possible. Yes, we agree. The material world is world of duality. That you cannot be 100% right, you cannot be 100% wrong. But the goal is to come to the closer to the ideal. No, even if somebody comes to 80%, 70%, we see in our schools also 35% is also pass. One may say, "Arey, he could have got good grades." That's okay. But nobody gets, nowadays they give 100 also. But usually nobody gets 100. It is not possible only. So therefore, here, we again don't see disconnection. This person made a mistake, but his mistake led to another pastime in Vrindavan Leela. So therefore, seeing that harmony is very important. We only do not demonize. Since Bhagavatam says he's a demon, but he's not a demon who was joining Varuna's party, because his action at this stage was very demoniac. Again in the Mahabharata we read, when Krishna used Ghatotkacha, he's a demon, but he's a friend of the Pandavas. So Krishna utilized, some point of time he was given a facilities to render service to the Pandavas, and he was removed. So that act was there, rendering service. So similarly, when this Varuna's servant, he took Krishna's father down, and then eventually Krishna came down, and Varuna was very gracious. Same thing in the Bhagavatam, we read the story of that Brahmana coming and blasting Ugrasen Maharaj. Every time his wife would give birth, his son would die. Now that story, if you just disconnect and not see the future, he would lose his child every time. And Arjuna came there, and Arjuna, without knowing what is the background, he thought that, okay, Krishna did not do anything, I will do something. And he took a vow in the name of Lord Shiva. Don't worry, I will protect your son. And that Brahman said, hey, come on, even Krishna could not do anything, even Balramji could not do anything, even Ugrasen could not do anything. How do you think you can do it? He said, I am not Krishna and Balram. He said, I am Arjun. That is a Kshatriya spirit. He said, I am Arjun. So unless he gives that confidence, one may say, how can Arjuna be so arrogant? No, Arjuna is not necessarily arrogant. He is giving confidence to that person. Don't worry, I am not Krishna and Balram. I am Arjun. I'll deal with it. So that Brahmana got confident. And of course, his confidence was completely frustrated by Arjuna. He couldn't protect. And that Brahmana gave double interest. With interest he gave all kinds of angry words to Arjuna, and Arjuna was about to jump into the fire. Then Krishna came. No, Krishna did not come for the Brahmana. Why? Because up until now, whatever was happening was based upon the destiny of that Brahman. Now since Arjuna got involved into it, something else is supposed to happen. So Krishna and Arjuna started looking. Where is this child? Because Arjuna had promised to this Brahmana. Just to protect his devotee, before Krishna did not even bother, this Brahmana would come and he would blast everybody. Can you imagine you come and blast Manmohan Singh in his parliament? Still he will not open his mouth, I think. So, but usually you cannot do that. But he would come and blast everybody right outside the parliament house in Dwarka. And nobody would bother. But when he did something in regards to Arjun, Krishna immediately got involved. And then they started looking everywhere. And eventually they came to Mahavishnu's planet. And Mahavishnu said, I just performed this pastime just so that I can get your darshan. You see, everything what was organized, then more revelation takes place. Lord Vishnu wanted to have darshan of Lord Krishna. And he asked, so I hope your appearance in the material world is being successful. He was basically asking a report and also wanting to take darshan of Vishnu. So again, we have to see the entire connection, like Prabhupada gave that example when he was giving a lecture in 22nd Avenue. People are asking about how do we know there is a reincarnation. He gave a very simple example. He said, you are in this storefront. You see the cars are moving. We can only see the cars which are coming close to our storefront. You see them, the present. But where do they go? That we don't know. From where do they come? That we don't know. Just because you don't know where it came, you don't know where it goes, doesn't mean that it doesn't have a future and past existence. Very simple logic. It is not only connected to reincarnation. We have a trouble to understand reincarnation. We have a trouble to understand the connection between the past, the present and the future. Just before we came here, Radha Gopinath was discussing about somebody. That person is going through a lot of difficulty in regards to non-changeable situation. When we have a hope that we can change, it is easier to believe in God. If there is a suffering in our life. But we have some inkling that this suffering is going to go away. Then we can pray to Krishna. But there are certain suffering you know for sure it is not going to go away. A chronic problem. A mentally retarded child. A child which has got a disease which is invalid. And you see the suffering of that child. Then to maintain that faith, actually this is also connected to my past and this will connect to my future, a bright future. There is a link to this. I may not be able to see this link. It is extremely difficult. It is easier for me to sit and speak and for you to sit and hear, because all our limbs are at least functioning properly and hopefully they will function in the future also properly. But for somebody, it's a chronic. It is there, it is going to be there, it is going to stay with them till they leave this body. It is extremely difficult to not to question, why me? Why this is happening to me? And such people, sometime, just to come out of that guilt, because they go through a lot of painful situation. They believe in God, but their belief in God is to change the situation what their child or their family members are going through. When that doesn't change according to their expectation, they want to declare. Not out of envy or anger, but out of, pain that I don't accept God. They become agnostics. So even somebody's atheistic, we can define different levels of atheism. Just demonizing the atheistic just because they are declaring themselves as atheistic is again become like Varuna's servant only. Very sectarian. Oh, he's an atheistic, that means he's a demon. He's a theistic, that means he's good. There are different levels of theistic people. And there are different level of atheistic people. Maybe nobody sympathized with them. Nobody communicated to them very nicely. So they try to figure out on their own. Recently somebody sent me an article about another very famous personality in India. He wrote a book about his son's suffering and the suffering what the mother went through. No, then he also declared in 2011, you know, always defending the Hinduism against the Abrahamic religion. And in 2011 he said, you know, I'm an agnostic. Why agnostic? Because he couldn't deal with the suffering of his son. He said, this whole concept of law of karma is so cruel. How can it be connected? He wanted to see it separately. Now, when you see separately events, then there is a trouble. It has to be seen in a complete connection. If I do not see whatever is happening with me, whether good or bad, there is a connection for it in the past. And it has a connection in the future also. We want to disconnect because it hurts our ego. Why not discuss this event only? No, we cannot discuss any event without the previous connection. Anything is happening in my life, it is invited by me. Nobody is responsible. Very difficult to accept it. It hurts our false ego. No? And therefore, you know, on a superficial level to accept law of karma is very easy because very logical, as Prabhupada gave that example. If Monday is there, another example he gave. If there is a Monday, there will be Tuesday. If there is a Tuesday, there is a Wednesday. He gave this example. Somebody asked this question to him. How does the demigod know that, you know, or the higher beings, they know that there is a repeated creation? He said, simple. Just like you know there is a Monday, and Monday comes and Monday goes, and Monday comes again. You are very assured about it. You know month of Jan will come this year, again the month of Jan will come next year. You know the rainy season is there. You have the experience of rainy season coming repeatedly. So similarly the demigod's lifespan is so large and they are there in the from the higher level, they can experience from there. And because they can experience from there, it is easier for them to, it is not logic, it's a reality. And the logic is based on that reality. Very simple. So there is no great science involved in understanding there is a past, there is a present, there is a future. But when it downs into our own life, especially when we have to experience, you know, uncertainty in regards to suffering, or assured continuous suffering, then we want to disconnect. No, no, I want to deal with this only. Why God is doing this to me? Why this person is doing this to me? Because we want sympathy from others. We do not want a truth to hear. And truth is not necessarily sympathetic. Truth's job is to not make us materially sympathetic. The job of truth is to perform surgery. When somebody goes through a surgery, he cannot expect, doctor, you perform surgery, but the feeling should be somebody is blowing on my body. That's not going to happen. When you go through the surgery, it is extremely painful. So therefore, truth is extremely painful. If truth is perceived through the lens of false ego, if the truth is perceived through the lens of imagination, truth has to be perceived only from the principle of truth point of view. However painful it is. And it is a very painful thing. So therefore what the devotees do, what Krishna does through his devotees, he tells the truth and truth hurts. And then they apply some ointment. No? And that ointment is that law of karma, again the Bhagavad Gita explains in the introduction, Prabhupada explains that the whole concept of law of karma is extremely fluid. Ishwar is unchangeable, Jiva is unchangeable, Prakriti is unchangeable, time is unchangeable, but only thing which is changeable is law of karma. I may be going something, I may be going through something, but if I continue, oh, this is what my future is, that is atheism again. Based upon my previous experience, I feel this is what is going to happen with me again and again. That is a sign of atheism. No, by learning what's happening with you, you can change your future. You can respond to your future in a different way. Or you can respond to the present in a different way. I make it happen and again. By saying, okay, this is what my life is and this is what's going to happen with me. And this is what my destiny is sealed. No, you are sealing your destiny. That is not law of karma. So therefore, when we come to the philosophy of Gita and Bhagavatam, it is so beautiful. Parikshit Maharaj, the entire event, if you see from a material perspective, you know, snake biting him, there is something about Pandavas in regards to snakes. If you study, you know, there is something. Nahusha became a snake and he is coming from their family only. And that same Nahusha captured Bhima, who was the most powerful. Then Arjuna burned the entire Khandava forest, where thousands of snakes were killed. And that was the time where Takshaka escaped from being burnt in the Khandava forest. And there was another snake, she also protected herself. And her son came, and he wanted to kill Arjuna. And he came in the quiver of Karna and he attacked Arjuna. But somehow that because Krishna was there, Krishna saved Arjuna. Then eventually Takshak, Parikshit Maharaj picked up the snake, placed. So there is a connection, but Parikshit Maharaj was so powerful, he saw the connection, but more than that, he saw much higher connection. He told all the brahmanas, all the sages, that Krishna is so kind to me that he has come in the form of this snake. Dvijashaparupa. He said, the Lord has come in this snake form just to speeden up my process of achieving him. It's not easy. You know, it sounds very beautiful verse. Very easy to learn also. And we can chant with great feeling as long as the snake is not following us. No? Very easy. But to say that what Parikshit Maharaj said with great gratitude, therefore these are there in the Bhagavatam. You know, these characters are there in the Bhagavatam because they stand out super excellently and are willing to see the complete connection, which we fail to see, which we fail to do. You know, like recently when I was coming from one place, the immigration is a huge crowd, almost like this only, much bigger than this. So everybody was standing in line. They saw, "Arey, koi kaam hi nahi karta idhar. Nobody is working hard. You know, we have to stand 1 hour, 2 hours." And everybody is saying that Indians only. So if they wanted that work to be happening faster, they should have joined there. They didn't join that job. They went to look for a private job. They want a good private job. And at the same time, they expect something good at the desk when they come inside India. Good people are not working for a needy job where is important emergency. I was just connecting. We have so many reasons to complain, and we are the one who made that problem. Like I went to one temple in Kanchipuram. One devotee family had taken. And then he said, "Prabhuji, you know, nobody is doing worship now anymore. Everybody is interested in material life only." I said, "Hey, you are also from this place only. You began it. You are supposed to be pujari here. You became a lawyer. And now you are making that comment." So, not seeing that connection. So, whatever I am experiencing the difficulty, whether it is immigration, whether it is road, whether it is car, I am equally responsible. Then I cannot stand out and say, you know, I am speaking as a devotee. If you are speaking as a devotee, then just tolerate and say, "Krishna, I am very grateful that you stuck me in this traffic for 3 hours. No, I can learn something out of this." But there I analyze, "Oh, this is wrong, that is wrong, bogus, you know, this should not happen like this because I've read some Prabhupada's books. And I stand out as a separate party and blame everybody else. No, I'm party to it. I'm responsible for whatever is happening. Whatever I go through, it is not that immigration officer is responsible. It is not the bus driver is responsible. It is not the contractor who has taken money to build a road. He is certainly responsible. He'll face his karma. If I am suffering, I am responsible for my suffering. So this is what law of karma is. Law of karma is not when we study Bhakti Shastri and Bhakti Vaibhav. Law of karma is applied wherever I move around in this world. No? If I am suffering, that is my karma. That's what the false ego does not allow. The false ego says, no, I am not responsible. You know, this government is responsible, that government is responsible, I am not responsible, I am a pure devotee. Because I go to Vrindavan and I come back. No, my interest is this. So therefore, to experience Vrindavan, one has to go to Vrindavan, no doubt. But to experience Vrindavan means, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, like Prabhupada says, when he was in New York, in that place, in that Bowery, very dirty place, you know, they were all apologetic. So Prabhupada, sorry, you brought here. He said, no, this is also Vaikuntha only. No, he was able to see Vaikuntha, not that could have been for him also. You know, it's not that in Bowery where there was a pub, he saw Ras Lila, you know. It was pub only, still the pub was existing. But he was in Vrindavan. You know, New York did not affect him. Why? Because he took the responsibility of changing that into a Vaikuntha. So therefore he said, no, there is, he did not blame, oh, this is this nonsense, that nonsense. He did that, but at the same time he was willing to change it also. So that is what we learn from here, that when somebody is sectarian, then he disconnects things. But when he is not sectarian, then he becomes extremely flexible. Not flexible means loose. Flexible means he knows which rule to give priority. And that's what Nanda Maharaj was expert. A devotee of Krishna, a true devotee of Krishna, he's extremely flexible. He does not flaunt laws. It is not that since I'm a Krishna's devotee, I remember in the beginning years, you know, when I joined, you have a wrong impression. Since you're a devotee of Krishna, there is no need to take a train ticket. So one time we have 15 of us, 15 brahmacharis, we had gone to some program, maybe 10, 12, and we were living this philosophy, and a TC caught us at church gate, about 12 devotees. He said, where is the ticket? He said, hum log Krishna ke devotee. So he said, therefore you should buy the ticket. Others don't follow laws, at least you should follow the law. You guys look gentlemen, and you are doing this thing. He said, not good. He was a good man. And he let us go. So then when we have a wrong assumption, since I am devotee of Krishna, then the rules of this world are not applied to us. Now I may be devotee of Krishna, but still when the temperature goes 5 degrees, you see a non-devotee demon also shivering, and a devotee is also shivering. You may argue with him, this is not shivering, this is ecstasy. But he's not going to believe that. He knows. You're ecstatic, but you are carrying big warm clothes and everything. Because laws of nature, you know, law of karma is synonymous to laws of nature. And laws of nature applies to everybody. But the only difference is, a devotee of Krishna who understands the philosophy, he understands the law of nature in a deeper perspective. His perspective is very beautiful. And one who does not have that knowledge, his perspective is what? He's only complaining about his surrounding. One who complains about his surrounding, he cannot be a devotee. And one who is a devotee, he cannot complain about his surrounding. So therefore, defining a devotee is based upon every situation. Am I acting as a devotee now? It is not stamped. like Aadhaar card. Abhi aapko Aadhaar card mal gaya, you are a citizen of India. You know, it is not when I get a diksha, now I am devotee, whatever I do. Because Krishna says, apichita sudaracharo bhajate manananya bhag. No. A devotee means that how do I deal with this situation? I deal like a non-devotee, I am a non-devotee. If I deal like a devotee, then I am a devotee. Very simple definition of Bhagavad Gita. So therefore, whether it is Arjuna, whether it is Yudhishthir, whether it is Bhima, that situation which material nature offers, we have to take decision. The responsibility lies with us. If I become rigid, I'll create a conflict. I become loose, I'll create a conflict. Just like in recent, the Supreme Court judgment in regards to, you know, this unnatural behavior or whatever, whether we should use that word unnatural is also, you know, a discussion point only. In our Vedic society, those people who had some unnatural tendencies according to what we describe as unnatural, they had a place to live. They were not ostracized. But they would not assert, you know, these are our rights. They had a place. Nobody was banished, nobody was punished. We see that if you study carefully in a village life, you don't see nobody ostracized. The entire concept of ostracization comes in only last 1,000 years. Nowhere in the Vedic literature you will find, if you read any Vedic literature, read Bhagavatam, read Mahabharata, read any literature, every society had their place to live. According to their behavior, depending upon how high and how low they would live, that much respect they were given and they were okay with that. You know, they would not want more than what they would deserve. So they were more evolved people than now. Now you have a shameless behavior, but you want the greatest of the respect. No, this is unreasonable and illogical. No need to ostracize, no need to, you know, make them feel criminal. By whatever reason, by their own karma, you know, again there is a background to it. It is not suddenly happened. No. But there was a space for them, a complete space. And they would live there without being bothered by anybody. It's exactly 1,000 years problem. No. Either way, give them full rights or bash them. Criminalize them or make them heroes. These both extremes are very dangerous for the society. Very dangerous for the society. So therefore, we see in a village life, if you actually go and study a village, if there is such a village existing now, but at least you can get to read. There is such a diversity in the villages, but all that diversity was creating a perfect harmony. A Brahmana, a real Brahmana was practicing beautiful scriptural principles, is not affected by someone who is not practicing. He would know, okay, that is his standard, that is his life, that is what he comes from, but at least he is doing something connected to Vishnu. There is a place for him also to worship Vishnu or Krishna. No, he may not practice higher principle. So because he is not practicing higher principle, naturally it is not written that they would not get much respect. And somebody is practicing beautiful religious principles, very religious in their activities, very strict, very clean, very, very punctual, very disciplined. Naturally they were respected more than anybody else. And those who are not respected, they would not create a strike. You know, we should also be equally respected. You know, give us our rights also. We also need equal rights. Now these things were non-existent. So which society was more evolved? The society which has a great diversity but no confusion. So therefore when we try to create an uniformity on an artificial level, everybody should get equal rights. And that is nonsense. Because there is no such thing as equal rights. Different rights we can call. Everybody has a different rights. Everybody has a different responsibility. And from the higher perspective, from a devotional perspective, from Krishna consciousness perspective, there is a unity. But from a cultural perspective, there is a diversity. Even an actor or actresses, they had a role to play, but they are never the leaders of the society. It is not that entertainment industry was not there 5,000 years ago. Even Ramayana talks about there was a group of people in Ayodhya, they would perform dramas, and the drama troupe was consisting of women. No, it's there in Valmiki's Ramayana. So they had a role to play, they had a role to entertain. There were jokers, jesters were there. Nowadays, I don't know whether parliament, everybody is a jester. No? So in every kingdom, there were jesters. You know, they would, whenever the things were very serious, then they would bring down the mood to a certain level. You know, if you study, Prabhupada talks about Gopal Bhan in the kingdom of Krishna Chandra. You know, they're talking in the kingdom. The king asked him, what is the difference between you and a fool? And Gopal Bhan said, 6 inches. Because king was standing 6 inches away from the jester. So he had the power to say that also, and king had to take it like that, because the king has given money to a jester to joke at king's cost, making king as an object. So we see that, so such an evolved society was there, entertainment was there. When we read, the Bhagavatam explains, I remember when this verse came in the Bhagavatam, when we were studying first canto, that there were prostitutes in the Bhagavatam. So all the devotees said, hey, how can prostitute be there in the Bhagavatam? That too in Dwarka and Krishna's pastime. No? So where Bhagavatam is it? So many questions were raised. But just see how Bhagavatam is giving diversity, very realistic approach. And Prabhupada does not hide it. He didn't say, I should not write this because people will get bewildered. He explained it, you know, what it is. They were there, but not the way what we see nowadays. You know, even they had a refineness of culture. They were artistic. They were musicians. They were dramatists. They were singers. You know, not that every entertainment people were like that. But even those prostitutes were extremely refined in regards to, you know, performing art to their customers. So therefore this diversity, when we see, that shows how evolved society people would live in the Vedic culture, and they were able to handle, there was no confusion in regards to diversity. So therefore, in Krishna Lila, in Ram Lila, in Lord Chaitanya's Lila also. Lord Chaitanya, we see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the fisherman, when he experienced ecstasy after seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, his body was elongated and he was in the waters for 16 hours. It had changed its color because he was in divine ecstasy and everybody was looking for Mahaprabhu. You know, Sarup Damodar, Govinda, and everybody was looking. They could not find Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Eventually they came to this place near the ocean where all the fishermen were there. One may say, what is he doing in Mahaprabhu's Lila? Everybody is pure devotees. They don't eat onion, garlic. What this fisherman is doing there? Fishermen are existing since time and immemorial. No? So when they came, and he was acting so weird. So this man was telling, you know, he was telling Sarup Damodar Goswami. They asked him, did you see Mahaprabhu? He said, no. He said, today was finished. He said, I saw some ghost and this ghost had haunted me. And any time I had a fear of ghost, I would chant Narsing Mantra. That means that devotee, that person was a Narsing devotee. Catching fish, chanting Narsing Arthi. No? So he said, now, but when I chant Narsing Arthi, this ghost is haunting me more. He said, now Narsing Mantra is also not helping. He said, my life is ruined. But what was he going through? He was going through great ecstasy. But he could not recognize this as an ecstasy. What a painful situation. No? You are experiencing growth in your devotional service, but you consider that to be negative. You know, that is an extreme example. That such an advancement without putting an effort also, But he was considering that to be haunting of a ghost. Sarup Damodar Goswami said, "Don't worry, I'm an exorcist." And he slapped him. I think that is the usual style to bring out somebody from the haunting of a ghost. He slapped him thrice and then he saw the body. That was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, "You fool, you are not being haunted by a ghost. You are experiencing divine current. No? You have touched such a huge voltage. Naturally, what will you experience?" So we see this, you know, that even such a person was existing in Mahaprabhu's Leela, and he knew Lord Chaitanya very well. He knew very well, and he said, "I know Mahaprabhu, this is not Lord Chaitanya." That's what he says, "I know Lord Chaitanya." So, but there was a society of those class of people also, and they were also devotees of Krishna. And if you have a problem, that's your problem. No, that is not the problem of Chaitanya Charitamrita, that is not the problem of Bhagavatam. Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bhagavata and Gita will not adjust because of our and your confusion. They are not there to confirm our views. They are not there to confirm my views. They are there to make us confirm their views. Because their view is a wholesome view. Their view is a complete view. No? Their view is not disconnected view. It is all very connected view. And because the Brajvasis were like that, the Pandavas were like that, any Krishna's devotees is like that. So therefore what happens to such people? Krishna becomes visible. And now here Krishna is performing the pastime that is going to show them the entire Golok Vrindavan as it is available in Vrindavan. Exactly what was there, what they were experiencing would be shown to them in the spiritual realm also. Vrindavan is also spiritual realm. But Krishna was about to show them. And by whose endeavor? No, it was Krishna's desire. You know, of course they are eternal associate. But it was Krishna's desire to show them. Therefore in bhakti, however much we endeavor, we still remain disqualified. We can never become qualified. But that doesn't mean that we don't try to be qualified. You know, when we say, "I'm always disqualified," usually what happens? We actively remain disqualified. But efforts has to be made by aspiring devotees to be qualified. As much as he works harder to be qualified, that much more he understands he is disqualified. And then the qualification comes from Krishna. Like in the 11th chapter of the Gita, Arjuna asked Krishna, "My dear Lord, can I see this form of yours? If you think I can see, please, my dear Lord, I want to see your this manifestation." And just see the language of Arjuna. He was so close to Krishna. He said, "My Lord, you are standing right in front of me, but I want to see how you are involved in this entire cosmic manifestation. I want to see the divine form." So Krishna said, "You cannot see with your eyes. I will give you that special vision." And Arjuna was able to see by the grace of Krishna that beautiful form, which was awesome. Arjuna was scared. Same thing in the Hastinapur when Krishna came there, when Duryodhan, Shakuni, Karna, Dushyasan wanted to capture Krishna and bind him. He said, "You want to bind me? Okay, bind me." So Krishna expanded. You know, he gave a trailer to Duryodhan. He said, "The original will come in the Kurukshetra battle. You get to see only the trailer." So when he manifested that form, Dhritarashtra was feeling something is happening. He was blind, he couldn't see. Krishna said, "You can see me," even though he is blind. And Dhritarashtra, at least that time, he said, "You know, I don't want to see anything else." He didn't want to see the realities of life. He saw that, but there was no change. Sometimes reality also has a different level. I see, but I don't change. I see, I understand, but I don't implement. Dhritarashtra got to see, but did not change. Others got to see, understood, but did not implement. But Arjuna, on the other hand, he was basically began with ignorance on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. But then he understood. Then he got to see the PowerPoint. Then he experienced. Then he implemented. So there was a complete wholesomeness in Arjuna's life. Therefore Arjuna, is a wonderful devotee, is the greatest devotee of Krishna. Why? Because there is a completeness in his life. And the Brajbasis, we can imagine how more complete they are. You know, so therefore, Rupa Goswami, he advises that following in the footsteps of the Brajbasis, what is there? It is not only seeing Krishna everywhere, in separation, in union, in separation of Krishna, taking the responsibility that Krishna, you are not responsible that you are away from us. Now when we say Srimati Radharani, if you study her mood in the Bhagavatam, when they met in Kurukshetra, our acharyas talk about this. Radharani said, Krishna, I am a criminal, in Chaitanya Charitamrita we read. Krishna, when he went to touch Srimati Radharani's feet, you know, what did Radharani say? What are you doing? He said, don't do this. She said, I am a criminal. Krishna wanted to say that I am a criminal, but Radharani said, no, I am a criminal. That is what the discussion takes place in the spiritual realm. In the material realm, how does it take? Krishna, itne saal se bhakti kar raha hu. And still you are not giving me your mercy. Krishna said, wait for 5 more years. And we say, we'll change my religion. I'll try something else. This is not working, I'll try something else. Let me see if something else works. So Radharani touched Krishna's, Krishna was touching Radharani's feet. Krishna said, Radharani stopped, she said, no, you cannot. She said, I am a criminal. Krishna said, no, I promised but I did not come. And Srimati Radharani said, no, actually I don't love you only. If I was actually loving you, you know, how would I survive? No, Krishna said, you are crying so much. He said, those are all fake tears. Radharani is saying fake tears and we say genuine tears. Oh, what a contrast. No? We want to be having the mood of Radharani in regards to only the verses, beautiful verses, but actual mood, you know, of Srimati Radharani and Brajbasis. They are taking responsibility of being what they are going through, and Krishna is taking responsibility of being not there in Vrindavan. And both had a genuine reason. Both had a genuine reason. It was not a superficial. Krishna had a genuine reason not to be in Vrindavan. And they had a genuine reason to cry that actually we don't love. If it was real love, how is that I am still surviving? That is a very practical question Radharani asked. If there is a real love, how can somebody survive if there is a real love? No chance. I could have not survived. So therefore Krishna, the society has given you the power over us. That you are the supreme controller. And we are supremely controlled. So therefore whatever you do with us is all great. It's all wonderful. It is not very easy. So therefore for us to understand the mercy of Radharani, we have to understand what is law of karma. We have to come down to our level and accept that if there is a problem in immigration, I am responsible because I am not sitting there. Or people like me, they are not sitting there. The roads are there also, we have to see Krishna consciousness. If I cannot see that, you know, and blame others, as I said, it is difficult to implement. So therefore we have to sympathize with those who are going through actual suffering forever. Immigration suffering is what? 1 hour, 1.5 hours, 2 hours. Can you imagine somebody having a children, lifetime blindness, lifetime suffering, and they genuinely take care of them? So it is our responsibility to give them the sweet Vrindavan flavor. By giving this Vrindavan flavor, Srila Prabhupada's philosophy, you know, marathon is going on. You know, distribution of Bhagavad Gita is what? A distribution of Bhagavad Gita is nothing but giving this understanding that there is a complete connection in our life. From my past to my present and from my present to the future. So when we give that Gita, when people have this understanding, then it becomes easier for them to come to the next level, keeping the foundation of Bhagavad Gita to Srimad Bhagavatam and experience Vrindavan as Krishna gave that experience to Brajbasis. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Any questions? Our comments. He's asking here. I think the mic is there.
You said about that. Okay, you said that Parikshit Maharaj son Janmeijay, and Janmeijay during his lifetime he did that Sarpa Yagya, that is he killed many Nagas because he avenged the death of Parikshit Maharaj. So do you feel that he was sectarian in some way by that act? And during that act there was Astik present, Astik sage, and he said that means when Indra tried to protect the Nagas, he said Astikaya Indraya Swaha, means even Lord Indra is there to, in that yagya. So he was, so you can say the sectarian in his way, in that way, Janmeijay.
Yeah, that's what. Therefore, you stopped from performing that yagya for one snake at the cost of Takshaka. You know, all the snakes were getting killed. So therefore, the rishis told, no, no, you cannot be doing that. It is not fair. You stop it. In the Bhagavatam also, we read the fourth canto. Dhruva Maharaj was destroying the entire, the host of the, what is that? Yakshas. You know, few yakshas were responsible for the death of his brother. But our Dhruva Maharaj, that's what Bhagavatam teaches us lesson, that sometime you could become extreme. Therefore, we need not, you know, all the time telling us, okay, walk right, walk left. Not like that, but there is a need of guidance, and then immediately was stopped by Swayambhu Manu, right? He stopped it. He said, no, don't do like this. You had a question?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, you told that, that Radharani, she felt that I don't have love for Krishna. So that you told that was genuine. So, but how Radharani cannot have love for Krishna? How to understand that?
So from our perspective, it should be very clear. So therefore, there are different perspective. When she says she is genuine, she can't be fake. You think she's acting in a drama? And I'll say this to Krishna and then he'll say no, no. Then he'll believe me that I have great love. That is the modern lovers, they do like that. You know, a girl says, I don't love you actually. He said, yeah, therefore I am liking somebody else. Really? Then she'll pounce upon it. Or the boy, vice versa. You know? So they try to play these tricks. So that is called as politics or diplomacy. In this world, the relationship is all based upon negotiation. You know, or duty. Max, it is all based upon, highest is duty. Love cannot be possible in this world. You know, pure love is not possible unless it is rooted through Krishna. Max, it is duty bond. Parents are serving the child. You may say, I love. No, that's a duty bond. They are responsible people. The child may serve the parents. Duty bond. You are forced to. Doing something, doing that, you don't get any benefit. But not doing, you go to hell. Very simple as that. Jiva Goswami explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, following the rules, no benefit. Not following, go to hell. You drive on the road, see that. Every day you are driving, following the rule, the police doesn't come and give a medal. I am seeing you last 25 years you are driving and you never broke a rule. Here is a medal. No, when you break the rule on the 25th year, 26th year's first day, you know, they charge you. That is how the material world functions. So we don't have to feel great about doing our duties. No, I am doing service to my parents. So what? So what? What is the big deal about it? You are supposed to do it. Maine mere bachchon ke liye itna kiya, to kya kiya? So why you are talking about it, that I have served my children so much? It's your duty. And you can't expect any benefits out of it. If it comes, it's a bonus. It is not expected to come. That's your duty. That's actually a harsh reality. The satisfaction of Kartavya Buddhi is just doing it. If you expect anything and if you don't get it, that leads to frustration. And if you get it without having this philosophical understanding, that intoxicates. Oh, I need more, I need more, I need more. Therefore, neither the parent nor the children have to talk about doing their duties. I am so dutiful. So what? You know, don't tell that is your duty, you have to do it. I'm always grateful. If you don't, you go to hell. So in this world, positively you don't achieve anything if it is not connected to Krishna. But negatively, yes. I'm a very clean person. You have to be, otherwise you become a dog. So being a clean person, you don't go anywhere. Just driving nicely on the road, express highway, you know, Pune Express Highway, all these roads, there is no prize. Only thing, you will not be caught as a criminal. If you don't, you will be caught criminal. If you do it, nothing will happen. So can you imagine living such a life? There is no reward only. But Krishna, this consciousness itself, Radharani's consciousness itself, Lord Chaitanya told Sanatana, stop crying. You know, it breaks my heart. And they are genuinely crying. It was not that they were acting. You know, I'm going to act in such a way that Mahaprabhu will become completely impressed by me. They were not doing it to impress Mahaprabhu. They were genuinely, desperately seeking for mercy. So never consider the verses spoken by the acharyas as poetry. From their perspective, it's a perfect truth that I am like this. But if you believe that Radharani is actually loving him, uske paas, mere paas hi jyada hai. Can you imagine? Oh, you know, no. That is their heart. They are exposing their heart, opening it and keeping in front of Krishna. Now, Hanumanji, Prabhupada says, he used anger in the service of Krishna. But if you ask Hanumanji said, my God, I used my anger out of passion. I could have destroyed Mother Sita also. So from Hanumanji's point of view, that anger is not using in Krishna's service. That anger was little, you know, causing trouble. It could have caused trouble to Mother Sita also. So therefore, different perspective. Prahlad Maharaj said, Krishna came not for my sake. Krishna came for Narad Muni, to make Narad Muni's word come true. And Narad Muni said, you know, Krishna came to make Prahlad's word true. Then he said, but what is the truth? That is a problem with the modern education. Modern education needs to be precise, however boring it is. Doesn't give any lesson. 1564, ye hua. 1634, this happened. 17, all disconnected events. And that becomes a history subject. Nothing to learn, only precise history. Everything has to be, that is what the Western concept of history is. It is extremely precise in history. But Prabhupada explains in one purport, he said, our concern in regards to history, does it teach a lesson? If it doesn't teach a lesson, what is the point in studying history? There is no need. So therefore, don't look for preciseness in regards to thoughts and events. Look for lesson. Therefore, Rupa Goswami explains, there is a Loka Praman and there is a Shastra Praman. If the Loka Praman is in harmony with Shastra, then that also accepted as a Shastra Praman. There are stories, you know, a lot of stories are there in connection to Krishna. And most of these stories, they are not found in the Bhagavatam. Sometimes somebody may say, "Are, is it really this happened?" No, whether it happened or not doesn't matter. What matters is you are learning a beautiful lesson. It is helping you to advance in Krishna's service. Therefore, the concept of history, what we study and apply that same mentality to understand the Vedic history, is totally different. Vedic history is not mythology, and Vedic history is not history as we have studied. It is beyond both of this. It is not mythology, neither it is mithya. It's a very interesting concept. So therefore, never look for precise. Aisa hua tha kya? Aisa ho sakta hai kya? Is it possible to happen like that? You know, what is the proof? Sometime when we go to Vrindavan, oh, it's the same one, same place where Krishna, when we go to Gokul, they have placed that ukhal. No, that is not the original ukhal. We say, oh, this is the same ukhal. That ukhal, somebody, how can that ukhal stay there without being taken care by anybody? No. If some famous person uses even his socks, people will store it. And Krishna's mother used that ukhal and it will be staying there in the corner. Is it the same place? They may show you 2-3 places. Like Hanumanji's birthplace, there are so many. There is one in Nasik, there is one in Hampi, one there is in Madhya Pradesh also. There are 3 places Hanumanji's birth. So which is the right one? Doesn't matter. Wherever you go, you feel experience of Hanumanji. So that is the birthplace of Hanumanji. Wherever you experience Hanumanji's appearance in your life, that is the birthplace. That is how. But then again, which is the real? No, again we are in the same mentality. We are looking for historical evidence. But that historical evidence, does it create a feeling for you? So it's a whole, we have to, stop. This education system has to be stopped to understand the scripture in the first place. That is the biggest problem. We have to study based upon what our Gurukul systems were there. But again, you'll not get job out of it. But you'll get Krishna. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Govind Prabhu. We wish this class could continue more. The nectar was flowing. We have some very important marathon updates. Today is 15th of December. We are halfway through now. One very wonderful news is that I recently met one devotee and I asked him how he became a devotee. So he told me that 5-6 years ago, he was studying MCA in Jalandhar. And he told me that he happens to be coming from a very pious background. So he used to read Gita, that Gorakhpur.